Welcome to another episode of the RevVR podcast. I am your host, Reverend Kyle. Man, dig that new music. What do you guys think about it, huh? I spent quite a bit of time perusing through resources, online, free archives, and things submitted to me. And after listening to thousands of tracks, I finally decided on this one. And I dig it. I dig it a lot. So I'm hoping that you all feel the same way about it. Did you turn it up at the very beginning, thinking it was too low? And then boom. Yeah. Get used to that, because I'm not taking that out. Those of you who remember, I had a little spin-off podcast called Driving Home with Reverend Kyle. And then I had a horn honking. Everybody thought that was terrible, and they made me take it out. I'm not taking it out of the beginning of this one. I like it. I like the new beginning. It kicks ass. And I'll tell you, I listened to the whole song. The whole song itself is about 3 minutes long. And I listened to the whole thing, and I thought to myself, why is this so catchy? Why is this just really, like, you know, I'm grooving with this thing. I'm jiving with it. It's hitting home for me. It's exactly the kind of music that I would want to introduce my podcast. And then it occurred to me that it sounds like it's from the band Deep Purple. And only my closest friends, and of course now my entire audience knows, I'm a big Deep Purple fan. As a matter of fact, there's that old question of, you know, if you could be stranded on a deserted island and you could only have three albums, or for you youngsters, CDs, with you the whole time, which ones would they be? And for most of my adult and teen life, it has been Deep Purple's Machine Head, Aerosmith's Get Your Wings. And then the third one changes depending on the decade. So, you know, sometimes it's Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill. Sometimes it's Hootie and the Blowfish. what was that? Cracked rear Window, whatever that was. You know, and sometimes it's other things. So, you know, just depending on what kind of mood I'm in. But those other two stand strong. Aerosmith, Get Your Wings, and Deep Purple's Machine Head. Now, both of those are albums that I could probably listen to from beginning to end over and over and over again. And when I heard the track that I'm using for my new intro, it hit me that it does. I couldn't get Deep Purple to create an intro song for me, so I had to go find something close to it. And that's why it stuck out to me out of all the tracks. I was very, very tempted to do some sort of some chip tunes, you know. But then I realized that there are a lot of podcasts that actually already use those types of music and, you know, gaming podcasts, and so rightfully so. But I'm not really so much a gaming podcast as I am a tech podcast, enthusiast podcast. I'm not really sure what to call it, but you know, we cover the gaming, but we also cover the tech and the theoretical hoobajoo and all that other stuff. So we cover a lot of stuff in this podcast. So it's not just about the gaming, but we do cover the gaming as well. As a matter of fact, in terms of gaming, I've got a couple announcements here, and we're going to go through these here, but and then I have a couple things that are kind of still standing out in limbo and waiting for a response. So, you know, first of all, the new music, there's going to be an intro and an outro, and they're both from the same song by a wonderful artist named Jesse Spillane. I found him on the free music archive. So if you're into all that kind of stuff, go donate money, because they make awesome stuff, and you know, support starving artists and all that nonsense. I think it's wonderful to do that sort of thing. So if somehow or another Jesse Spillane gets wind of the fact that I'm using one of his Creative Commons songs from one of his wonderful albums, you know, hey Jesse, thank you. You rock. You're a wonderful artist, and I love this song specifically. Actually, the rest of his stuff is pretty good. I might just download it and listen to it. Another announcement is the website. So www.revvrstudios.com is live. It actually never died. It just evolved. And it's not even in its final form yet. But it does now have several things that it didn't have before. So it used to be that if you went to revvrstudios.com or reverendkyle.com, the original URL, you got a really goofy looking logo that never really did much for me. And you got a list of all of my podcasts that you can click on and listen to or download, whatever. It was functional and it was fugly. And it didn't give me much room for growth. And so what I chose to do was, you know, looking at all of my options, I decided, okay, it's time that I put something together that's legit. And so the new website, which is, you know, I'm not gonna pussyfoot around all of this. It's very obvious that it is a WordPress theme with all sorts of fun plugins and whatnot. I had been previously using Joomla as my CMS of choice. I've switched over to WordPress because I found a theme that I like, and it holds all of my wonderful new art as well. I had a wonderful designer do some art for me, and props to him. Just wonderful, fantastic, and very accommodating person. So you know, Alexander, if you're out there, thank you, man. Props to you. While I'm at it, I decided to go ahead and add a blog, which gives me the ability to talk to you outside of just in audio podcasts. I wanted to have the opportunity to put out some of my thoughts and feelings in small bursts in front of you. And if you like it, great. If not, no big deal. I in no way, shape, or form am claiming to be a news outlet. If you read my blog, you are going to get fluff and you are going to get personal opinions and you are not going to be informed. You are going to just listen to me ranting about stuff. As a matter of fact, just today I put out a blog post about a sandwich. Now, it's a sandwich named after me, which is awesome, but it's not meant to be clickbait. It's not meant to be newsworthy. It is just a personal blog. Take it as it is. So please do not accuse me of doing clickbait, because I don't want it to be ironic when I, on Fridays, put out what I am calling clickbait shame. And so every week on Friday, I am going to go scour Google and I'm going to look for the articles that I find to be clickbait. And I'm going to shame them publicly on my blog. Isn't that fun? I'm excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But I don't want people to go, well, you know, you're doing the same thing too. You're blah, 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 blah. No, I openly admit to the fact that my blog is a bunch of just me ranting. It's a personal blog. You know, if you go to a website that is known to be a news media outlet and the title is something like, here's why, if you like VR, you hate puppies. You know, that kind of title for an article just does not fly with me. And so I'm going to publicly shame you. And some people are like, well, by linking to the article, aren't you giving them more hits? Maybe, but I'm giving them bad kind of hits. The kind of hits that are like shameful. You know, I don't know. It's fun. It's fun to publicly shame people when they deserve it, on your personal blog. So that's what I'm doing. So revvrstudios.com is going to be a source for that type of content. Also, the podcast, the RevVR podcast, is going to continue to post there. Now, if you go there right now, you'll notice that there are only the last maybe five or six podcasts are there. The the remainder of the backlog of 126 or 27 podcasts are being converted. And when they are all done, I will publish them all at one time. And there will be this massive outburst of, you know, because if you're a subscriber to the RevVRStudios.com website, you don't want to get like 800 emails saying, oh, he just added episode 62 and episode 49 and episode 37 and episode 69. And, you know, you don't want to see all that. Well, I don't know. Maybe you do. Episode 69 was actually really good. I would recommend going and listening to it. All right. So along with announcements, good stuff, bad stuff. I am announcing this is the final episode that is under the paid sponsorship from our wonderful folks, our friends at Intel. And so Intel approached me and wanted to sponsor the podcast and have me be involved with all sorts of wonderful things with this campaign. And that has been fulfilled. And I'm very pleased to say that they've been wonderful, and I hope to work with them again soon as another campaign comes around where VR and in Intel's core technology comes together and forms wonderful things. And I know that they've got some stuff brewing and kicking. Intel always has something amazing kicking. And alongside that, I guess I should give you an update that my poor little VR PC... I shouldn't say that. My totally awesome and amazing VR PC that I have built around the Z170 chipset architecture and the Intel Core i7-6700K chip is just doing amazing. I can't tell you how amazing this thing is. You know, it's been settled and rocking and kicking, and it's even handled Windows 10 updates. Can you believe that? but I've been playing games on it like mad, things like Raw Data and Hover Junkers and No Man's Sky. Yes, I know I play No Man's Sky. Don't ask me why. The kids have come down and have done amazing things with Tilt Brush, and you know, we've done some fantastic contraption, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit here, but I have been doing some mixed reality as well, or at least attempting to. I just want to say, though, that it's very unfortunate that my VR PC still doesn't have a name. And I'm just really, I have not come up with a good name for him yet, or her, or it, or them. I don't know, but whatever it is, this PC definitely needs an identity. It doesn't have a name. And without a name, you're nothing, man. You got to have a name. So I'm asking the VR community, my audience at large, please send me names. I need a name. My computer just cannot continue to function the way it is without a name. I mean, it functions. It's wonderful. It's amazing. Well, obviously, because it's using an Intel Core i7 processor. But yeah, that's what we're waiting on is a name, I think, to put this thing to final port. Also, you know, speaking of computer hardware, I always find these kind of conversations interesting. So I'm at work, and we're talking to one of we're kind of brainstorming for a client. And, you know, sometimes the clients get wind of things that are, catchphrases and buzzwords and things like that. And so, you know, when we build a VR experience for them, we will build them a machine or recommend them a computer and say, hey, okay, we're building a VR experience for you. You just need the right hardware to run it on it. You know, go get yourself, you know, this, that, or the other. We'll build you something, okay? And so normally we would recommend to them something along the lines of what I built for myself, which is, you know, Z170 chipset, Intel Core i7-6700K, a nice beefy amount of RAM, solid-state hard drive, and whatever the most recent NVIDIA GTX 10 whatever video card is. So we normally recommend all that. Well, a specific client comes in and says, okay, we want SLI'd, the latest Titan cards SLI. That's what we want. And I'm thinking to myself, well, first of all, we're building you an experience in Unity. Okay. We're building you an experience in Unity that you're going to use with your Oculus Rift headset. And having SLI video cards isn't going to do you a damn bit of good. It's just not. You know, then I look and I see that these new Titan cards are like $3,000. So they want to spend, because they want to SLI them, so they want two of them, $6,000 a video card for a Unity project that we're building them for architecture. Now, a lot of polys, sure, a lot of this, that, of that, whatever. But with a GTX 1080 on an Intel Core i7 6700K, I can bust 90 frames per second with no problems at all. And that computer doesn't cost $10,000. It costs less than $2,000. Why? What is the logic that would make somebody think that SLI Titan cards is actually going to be given advantage? I mean, it's an education thing. It really, it truly is an education thing. Somebody told them, well, if you're having some sort of visualization done, make sure you get the best card you can, do this, do that, and buzzwords, Titans, buzzwords, SLI, buzzwords. And so those buzzwords get put together into a quote and then get sent, and it's okay. So I'm not upset. I just find it humorous that that's what that people are willing to spend thousands of dollars based on buzzwords. And really, I think that, you know, that's something to be said about the way that today's, you know, industry is like, oh, buzzwords. You hear words that I know that these are a big thing. Oh, IoT. Oh, that's a buzzword. I don't know what it means or what it does, but I know that's a thing. Sensors, 3D, 360, light fields. Light fields is another good buzzword. Oh yeah. I'm going to get some of those light fields. Let's fill a whole box. Can I get a box? Can I get a dozen light fields to go, please? Can I order those on Amazon? Yeah. Yeah. OLEDs. Ooh, that sounds like a good buzz. People go for buzzwords, and it's just, you know, web VR. What is web VR? What is it? I don't know. Social media influencer. You know, these are words. They're buzzwords, and sometimes they mean things, sometimes they don't mean a damn thing. But they're words that influence people to do things and make decisions. And so I guess it's kind of a frustration of mine when I hear people throw out a whole bunch of buzzwords and then other people get all excited about it. It's like, ooh, I'm going to get a bunch of these things. I'm going to do this. I want whatever is the new current fun buzzword. That's what I want. I don't want what I have now. I don't want to expand on my current stuff. I want buzzwords. If it doesn't have an exciting buzzword next to it, I don't want it. So that's just a little rant. Sorry about that. All right, let's talk about some mixed reality setups. So while I was at Oculus Connect 3, I saw a booth. It was a mixed reality booth. Had green screen covering all over the front of it. Big glass window so people could see inside. It was mixed reality with an Oculus Rift. Up to this point, we hadn't seen mixed reality except with the HTC Vive. As a matter of fact, I personally have been trying to set up a mixed reality setup in my office, in my VR dungeon, with mixed reality. To limited success, I finally have it working, but I'm still challenged with trying to get everything lined up correctly. And also, I've realized that I don't have enough wall green, and so I need to do another wall full of green, and that's en route. So trust me, it's on its way. But here's my current setup here at the house. I've got a Canon. What is that? It's a Rebel T3i. Yeah, it's the T3i. I had to look at it there. The Rebel T3i. I have it connected via USB to my capture computer, my old computer, and I'm using a program called Sparko Cam, which is made by a company surprisingly called Sparko Soft. It was cost a couple bucks to get it, but it allows a full a full amount of data coming from the camera, and you can control it slightly, even do chroma key with it, into Open Broadcaster. So that's my capture of me in the room. And so then I have my green screen, and I have some strategic lighting, which I found I'm pretty blessed to not have to do too much in terms of the lighting to make this work. I then have attempted to coordinate a third, an old HTC Vive Lighthouse controller from the original dev kit, trying to use that as a third controller to position the camera and set all the software up, all the mumbo jumbo in Steam VR, and found that I just use the virtual one and just say, okay, set it and forget it type of thing. I know that there's some apps out there that you can manually configure and put the camera in a certain spot. And I've tweaked it a bit. I just haven't found that sweet spot. But anyway, I'm using Open Broadcaster to capture the camera. And then I'm capturing also, I have an Elgato HD60S external HDMI capture. It does 1080p at 30 frames per second, coming from my gaming VR PC out into my capture PC. And yeah, everything seems to be working hunky-dory. So when I saw at Kinect that they have mixed reality capture, hey, cool. I'm gonna do that. And then I looked inside their booth and saw 10 sensors all lined up in a row on the wall. Yeah. They had an Oculus Rift attached to the camera. Yeah. And then they had another Oculus Rift attached to another. They had a lot of Rifts in there, not including the one that you wore. And then there was also what we were playing was the game Unspoken. This is a wonderful, amazing title from the folks at Insomniac Games. They're known for other amazing VR titles such as Edge of Nowhere, Feral Rights, you know, they've got a bunch of other titles. Unspoken is their latest and greatest. And I'll tell you what, man, I had a blast playing that game. Nothing made me feel more exhilarated with the touch controllers than playing Unspoken. I mean, there was a lot of gun games and stuff, but to just hold down a button on the touch control, look down at your hand, and just kind of grasp an orb of fire and then thrust it at your enemy is just I felt like I was, you know, one of my favorite arcade games has and always will be the X-Men versus Street Fighter, Marvel versus Street Fighter games, and it has to be one of those two, Marvel or X-Men, because, you know, Capcom, no, and Street Fighter by itself, no, has to be either X-Men or Marvel versus Street Fighter. To play those games and put as many quarters as I did into those games, you know, when I started playing Unspoken and I, you know, I'm crossing my, my wrists together and shooting things out, and I'm holding my hand down and throwing them, I felt like I was a character in that game. I felt like I was a character in one of those two games where I was fighting. It was almost as if somebody had taken my favorite game and said, you know, let's give you the opportunity to do it from a first person perspective. What a great idea. I love it. I absolutely love it. I suck at it. I was not good at Unspoken. I was bad at it. I did okay during the tutorial, but then when I actually had to play against another human being, I was bad. So I don't know. If we ever have a chance to play against each other online, then you'll know you'll be able to beat me pretty easily. I have a good time playing, but I don't win. So anyway, looking around, I'm in this green screen room and I'm playing and I'm realizing all the sensors and everything and the lighting, and it's very clinical. Everything's set up very, you know, it's very complicated setup, but Insomniac Games, we actually, while I was at Kinect, I had an opportunity to interview a gentleman from Intel who worked with the folks at Insomniac Games, and had a really great conversation with them. It's streamed live on Twitch. I would recommend checking it out if you can. Go to twitch.tv/Oculus and go check it out. It was during our third day of wrap-ups. But talking about the mixed reality and having somebody actually, you know, seeing me in the game, I mean, that was pretty cool. We actually had one of the folks from Insomniac Games actually come and talk to us as well. Now that I think about it, it's already hazy in my mind during the Twitch stream. So go check them all out. I think it was day two that we did that. So yeah, we just had such a good time playing Unspoken. And you know, I'm looking around the mixed reality room and thinking, okay, so they've got all these cameras, they've got all these riffs. How is this something I can duplicate at home? And really, honestly, you'd have to have multiple riffs with multiple cameras to be able to set something like this up. So I don't believe that the mixed reality setup that we saw at Kinect is something that can be easily duplicated at home, but possibly by some folks in offices. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they don't set something like this up at the collective. Upload VR has, you know, one of their nice little setups that they've got. They're doing a lot of cool mixed reality there at Upload VR, and I'm kind of jealous. I have to admit, I'm kind of jealous of some of their setups. They've been doing streams on Facebook and whatnot, so check them out. It's been pretty cool. But mixed reality with Oculus Rift, I think, is still a little bit far away from being able to do at home. So I wouldn't think you're gonna see anything like that soon. But who knows? You know, the game itself has to be incorporated into it. I know that there have been some other developers who are saying, hey, I'll add what's necessary into my game to be able to do mixed reality stuff. And, you know, maybe I can get a hold of some of those developers and say, hey, why don't you let me do some mixed reality stuff with your game? That might be pretty cool. All right. The earbuds. Let's talk about the earbuds for just a very, very small amount of time. So out of just pure curiosity, I wanted to know if they were any good. So I got out the little tool and I took off the, you know, headphones off of one of my riffs and put the earbuds on. They're okay. They're not bad. You know, I am not an earbud kind of guy. I have a problem with earbuds staying in my deep canals, and they kind of stayed, but not really. I mean, especially when I started moving around a bit, I actually found myself, my hair getting tangled up in it. And overall, I mean, again, the performance was fine. I give them an A in terms of performance. However, I do not want earbuds on my HMD. I don't want my earwax canoodling with other people's earwax. That's gross. But also, I just had a hard time just putting them in, taking them out. And again, other people might love them. Great. Good for you. Awesome. I'm so excited for you if you love them. I do not. But I will be keeping them and adding them to my collection. Or having them for when somebody says, hey, you know what would be really cool is those earbuds. And I go, ha ha. We have those. So what else? The Ubercast 3. Did you all go out and listen to it? It was pretty good, huh? You didn't. You didn't listen to it yet. Oh, that's probably because you didn't know where to find it. If you go out to the Left-Handed VR podcast website, which is vrnews.tv, you can listen to the Ubercast 3 that we recorded at Blair Renault's Airbnb on the last day of Oculus Kinect 3. It was a lot of fun. There was a lot of people there, good times, good conversations. I highly recommend listening to it. Make sure you have your hand on your volume button. Some folks don't understand the concept of microphones, but that's okay. We're not going to judge them. They didn't know any better. But there was something that was said there, and having gone back and re-listened to the Ubercast myself, I realized that there was a component that I wanted to touch on a little bit more. And that specific thing was the percentage of Oculus Rift owners. These are folks who already purchased an Oculus Rift. And how many of those people are going to go out and buy Touch? The Oculus Touch controllers, which would then give you the complete ensemble. There were most people were saying, oh, well, you know, it's going to be like 100% penetration. You know, that well, you have to have the handset. You have to have the hand controllers if you have the headset because you can't play all the new games and stuff. And why wouldn't you? Well, I'll be honest with you, folks. I feel like it's not going to be 100% penetration. It'll easily be 50. It might even be close to 75. But I think that's where I draw the line. I do not believe that 100% of the people who own a Rift are going to buy the touch controllers. Let me explain to you why. I can account for, over the course of the last, however long it's been since the Rift has been out. So I have to say that because I don't know when you're going to listen to this podcast. Let's just say the last year. There have been 20 Rifts. Yeah, well, I'll say 20. I think it's a moderate number, but I'll say 20 Rifts that I know for a fact are never going to have touch controllers attached to them. Now, that's because these are being used for a specific purpose in an industrial situation, and touch controllers were not part of the design and never will be. Take that from one company in one vertical and multiply it by 10, 100, 1,000. Pick your numbers. Start doing the math. How many Rifts do we have out there? 100,000? 200,000? What percentage of these headsets were bought for non-gaming verticals and were intended to be used by themselves? They were never intended to have a controller with them. Now, some people might say, oh, you're over-exaggerating, that's only like a small percentage, maybe 5%. I don't know. How many of them were purchased wholesale and then like resold or pushed out onto, eBay or whatever? I don't know. But what I do know is that despite the fact that that number might not be 100% or even 80% or 75%, it's still going to be at least over 50, which is a good thing for the developers who are making content specifically that uses the touch controllers. Now, is this going to be the downfall of the Xbox-controlled games? No. So don't pack away, just because you get your touch controllers, don't pack away your Xbox controller, because I seriously doubt you're going to use your touch controllers to play games like Lucky's Tale, Chronos, third-person games. I don't know. You might, probably can, but would you want to? Where's the value to that? So give all that, some thought. Think about, if you went out and bought a touch controller right away, or did you wait, or are you holding on and, oh, gee, you don't have $200 floating around, right now and you have to wait. Speaking of waiting, there's other things that you could be buying. I mean, who knows? Maybe you're trying to save up for a new computer. I've had some developers on recently in previous episodes. It was like, I need to upgrade my computer. I'm really jealous of you, Reverend Kyle, for having that awesome Intel Core i7-6700K processor that is just making all of your VR games run silky smooth. I wish I had that. And I tell them, I say, I wish you had it too. And I think that maybe you should get that. Or do you get the touch controllers? I don't know. I think that having the silky smooth VR experience should take precedence. But that's me. That's my opinion. I'm not telling people what to buy. But yeah, we had a really healthy discussion during the Ubercast 3 about the percentage of touch controllers or the percentage of Rift owners that will buy touch. And I'm a little skeptical. I think it'll be lower. What day is it? It is it day 45? Is it day 32? Is it day 89 since we've seen our good friend, Mr. Palmer Lucky, out in the wild? Palmer, please come home. We forgive you. Please come home. It's just not the same without you. Please come home. But seriously, Palmer, if you are listening, or if somebody tells him that I was talking about him, the longer you stay away, the harder it's going to be to come back. I mean, you were a founder. They can't take that away from you. They can't take away the fact that you founded something. They could fire you, they could fine you, they can berate you, they can punish you. But they can't take away the fact, the history of what you've done. And so come out, take your medicine, and move on. Because I, for one, kind of miss your tweets, kind of miss your snarky comments on the subreddit. Come back, man. We miss you. I'm not going to say all is forgiven because it's not for me to forgive, but I'm willing to let you come back and, like I said, take your medicine and move on. So give me a call, man. Drop me an email. I'll let you come onto the podcast. You and I can talk a little bit about things, you know, life in general. Get you back on track. Get you back in the limelight. Get you back on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Or not. I don't know. It's up to you, man. Open invitation, as always. All right. Well, I think I have rambled enough for this kind of a launchy type of podcast. So new music, new website, blog, and all of that stuff. Like I said, this is our final episode under the banner of the paid sponsorship from Intel. It's been wonderful to work with those folks, and I look forward to doing more with them in the future. But yeah, going forward, episodes will have all the new stuff, the new music, the new logo. Got a lot of really good positive responses about the logo. I'm still switching things over, so if you see the old ugly Android with the HMD on it anywhere, let me know. Google likes to crawl old stuff, and I'm trying to get rid of it all. Yeah, it's a reinvention, a reimagining. It's an exciting moment in time for the Rev VR podcast and Rev VR Studios. Things are getting done. Things are getting written. Things are getting published. It's awesome. So, as usual, come find me in the normal channels such as Twitter. Go find me at Reverend KJR on Twitter. Facebook as well, Reverend KJR. They won't let me change the name of the Facebook page. Poo on you, Facebook. But they did let me change logos and stuff like that, so that's okay. And that's Facebook.com/ReverendKJR. Or you can email me. Feel free to email me, ReverendKJR@gmail.com. People have been emailing me nonstop since there's that big snafu of the voice actors on strike or whatever, that they, oh no, we need voice actors. Reverend Kyle is open and available to do any voice acting in a video game. And if it is a virtual reality, I'm going to extend this. If it is a VR or AR experience and you are looking for a voice actor, I will be the voice in your experience free of charge. That's an open invitation to anyone looking for voice talent, quote unquote talent, for your experience for either VR or AR or MR. If it's an immersive technology experience, I will come be the voice for whatever it is that you need free of charge. That is my offer to you. It is my offer. It is my duty to the VR community, to the AR community, to the MR community, to offer that service since so many people are on strike or whatever that hoopla is. So feel free to reach out to me for that. You can email me or find me on Twitter or find me all over the place. So yeah, I think that's it. Everybody go check out the website, www.revvrstudios.com. Share it with your friends. Share it with your mom. I know she'll love it. That's it. So no, thank you, Intel. You've been wonderful. And thank you all very much for listening.
This podcast is a production of Rev VR Studios. Music provided by Jesse Spillane. Comments and views expressed on the Rev VR podcast are the sole opinions of Reverend Kyle or his guests. For more information, visit RevVRStudios.com.